It is the Monday edition. The Jason Wilde takes vacation time edition. Good for him. The Brian Bulaga scheduled to appear on a Monday edition coming up at 9:30 at the bottom of the hour. And most importantly, the happy birthday old T edition of Wilde and Tausch. 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, the ESPN app Wisconsin On Demand, streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. In for Jason Wilde. I'm usually the producer of the show. My name's Jesse Nelson.
Are you really usually the producer?
Well, I... The majority...
I feel like I've seen Hunter a lot more than you.
I am the producer of the show the majority of the time.
That's fair. That is fair.
Statistically, that is still accurate. Hunter Vaughn is our producer, making him the cousin sub of the day today. Behind the glass, running the show, thankfully for me to slide over. Hunter, good morning.
Good morning.
More on you in a minute. But first, let's get to the birthday boy himself, Old T. Happy birthday, big fella.
Thank you. The birthday deal, it gets trickier as you get older. Like, I think the 40th, we had a big deal. But then, I don't necessarily even know how to act, if that makes sense. It's like, I'm going to celebrate it, but I don't need the over-the-top. I'm not a huge fan of that. But I do enjoy it. I like getting the salutations on my phone. I do enjoy that piece of it. But then I don't know what other stuff that I need to jump into. I like being wished a happy birthday, and I kind of like going about my day.
I agree with you, actually. And this is going to be a surprise.
How is that possible? I am not complaining that mama doesn't come up and cook me a big steak dinner. I don't need mama to be around. I got to see my mom this weekend down in Janesville. That was great. But I don't need mama to change all her plans so that she'll be around for me on my birthday.
The 30th birthday was one that I thought my parents might want to get together and do something instead of planning a trip to Vegas. Or maybe an invite on the trip to Vegas, since I've never been as a grown adult. Would have been nice. That was what my gripe was about the 30th birthday a couple of years ago.
I never asked you, what did Becca say about how you were so mad at your mama about that? Did she say, get over it, you're a grown man? Or did she say, I get it?
She said, well, we had fun up north. We had that particular birthday, we ended up planning a long weekend up north, invited some friends up, had a ton of fun. It was when some Aaron Rodgers drama was taking place while you guys were on the show, and I was on a Friday hike in the afternoon. I was like, you know what?
Yep.
Good luck to them dealing with all that. So that was when the COVID drama, I think, was taking place.
COVID drama.
Yeah, it was fun. Fun one to miss. But now I'm at the, like, last year, my birthday was on a Sunday. We went to the Packers-Rams game, I think it was, on a Sunday, whatever it was. We went to the Packers game, and it was awesome. And I was getting texts throughout the day saying, happy birthday, hope you're having a good one. Like, but outside of the couple of people that I went up, including Becca, to go to the Packers game with, like, I didn't need a huge, like, celebration. I didn't want to plan a thing where it was like everybody gets together, make a big weekend out of it. Like, I don't need that anymore. So as much as I do love being the center of attention, I like, it does feel good to get the texts from a bunch of different people saying, happy birthday, hope you have a great day.
So where's that line? You're a tier guy. Who do you expect to send you a text or a call?
I think all of your tier ones.
I agree.
You expect to get the happy birthday text. But here's where things have gotten dicey. So over the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, Facebook, my favorite social media platform.
Yeah, that's one thing. I'm glad I'm not on it, because that is, in fairness, Sarah's on Facebook.
Yep.
And she'll send me, hey, it's old boy's birthday or old girl.
Yep.
So, and I appreciate that. I'm still not going to go on there. And I think that I don't love hollow, like, texts that you get that you know are pre-programmed. Don't want it. Like, I get, you get this around, you get
text.
Like Thanksgiving or Christmas where I'll literally see it and it'll be from somebody that is probably like a tier, it's way tiered up. And it's just because they have on there all their contacts, wish a happy birthday.
Oh.
And if you see it and then you see the same thing as the last text was the same day a year ago, that's what, I don't even respond to those anymore. I don't even say thank you back, which I don't know if that's IPT.
Yeah, that is IPT.
So it's a pre-programmed
text.
No,
but if someone is annually wishing you happy birthday, even if you don't have any correspondence, like, you should still respond.
I saw it for two straight years, and I had said thank you, and that was our only correspondence for 2 years in a row. That's when I started thinking, maybe I just kind of wipe it.
I do feel bad when I see that. Like, when I see that someone's birthday, and this is what I was getting at with Facebook. Facebook has been really great for me as a reminder. It pops up on your notifications, like, it's Dave's birthday. And you're, oh, I forgot, that's today. And then you text Dave, happy birthday. That was really helpful for me because I'm bad with birthdays. Like, I don't have them all saved in my phone. I don't have them on a paper calendar at home, anything like that. So I'm usually pretty bad with wishing people happy birthday. So when I do see them, and I try to really send a nice, like, you know, extra sentence or two when I say a happy birthday to somebody. So with people moving away from Facebook more recently, that's been tougher to try and keep track of, especially some of my closer friends, when it's like, okay, I gotta make sure I remember. I've got like three that are all in the first week of June, so I gotta remember, okay, today's Corey's birthday, today's Dave's birthday, it's John's birthday, and I gotta remember to keep them all track. It is a little tougher to do that, but then I do like to make sure I send a nice note, not just happy birthday, like a generic with an exclamation point.
Sure.
Like, make it a, you know, so try to make it personalize it, a little
so
bit.
So what
yeah.
if you don't get a text from who you think is like a tier two? Does that then kind of make you wonder where you're at?
No, I don't think so. Well, a tier, here's what I'll say to that. So for those who are unfamiliar,
yeah,
with the tiers
say, explain
of friends.
Your
tiering. So I have five tiers of friends. More on one of the
where's Hunter in that tier?
Well, I don't tier teammates or coworkers, and I don't tier family members.
Hunter, where's your tiering on Jesse?
Well, I can't go by the same. I have to go the same way as Jesse. I'm not going to tier people I work with. That's just weird.
Yeah, you can't.
You think
that.
So?
Yeah, I don't think that's fair.
But you're
I
tier
I
one,
like
old T.
Yeah,
if
I
had
thanks.
To
I
know.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
So in my tiers of friends, the tier ones are like the guys who stand in your wedding, like they're your closest friends, your most trusted. Like if you're in a sticky situation, you got a big life crisis, you're reaching out to those people.
Like your mama not inviting you to Vegas.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Tier two are also very close friends. You'll hang out with them like individually. You'll text them alone. Like they're still very, very good friends. They're just not your closest standing in the wedding friends. Then there's a big drop to tier three, which is and it just gets a little further out as the tiers go on. Tier five is like people you only hang out with when you're with your other better friends, but you still enjoy their company. So what were we even talking? Oh, if the tier one friends, when they're
that's always a great sign. What the hell were we even talking about?
The tier
what do you mean?
One
you
friends.
Just have been rambling for 2 minutes. What do you mean you don't know what you're
you
talking about?
You asked what the tier. I had to explain what the tiers were. It was a while ago. We've gone through that. So the tier one friends, if they don't wish you happy birthday, I'm not actually too worried about it. Like, I figure they guys got something going on. Like, it's a big day.
What
like, they just
you,
forgot.
So
it's fine.
One of my best friend's birthdays was last week, and I always mess up the date. I sent it to him 2 days early. How is that viewed? His birthday's the 8th. I text him on the 6th, and it was D-Day. And his family has a big military history, and I kind of correlated it back. And then he said, thank you, brother, all this other stuff. And then he texts me back. He's like, you know my birthday's the 8th. And I said, yeah, but I sent it to him on the 6th. I wanted to be early.
You didn't know, though.
Well,
you
I always get
you
the
6th
and the
8th.
I do.
Yeah.
Same thing with Cliffy. I get Cliffy's birthday because his anniversary and his birthday are very close.
Uh-huh.
So I sometimes will mix it up. But I think just wishing someone a happy birthday, even if it's within 3 days, I'm okay. And I always want to be on the early side of it. My boy City.
Mm-hmm.
City's birthday's yesterday. He's always the day before, so we always remember each other's birthday. It's great. He sent me a nice text this morning. If I get him and if I get him a day early, I still look at that as a win. Am I crazy?
So, I mean, how would you feel? Like,
I'm fine.
If
I would
Jason texted you Saturday and said, hey, Tausch, happy birthday.
I
hope you have a great
more
one.
Than happy about it. That'd be great. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate it.
You're
and then I would
for
say,
all the times that
I'm
you...
2 days, you're 2 days early, but that's okay.
For all the times that you correct Jason on the regular, any chance that you get...
Let me tell
you get,
something. Jason will correct me. If I'm taking stats, who corrects whom more? Hunter? You listen to the show on a semi-regular basis.
Honestly, it's probably 50-50. Okay. I think both of you do it God, to each other yes. the same amount.
I am the dynamic of our stations. Fear of Jason Wilde blows my mind.
No, I'm not
no,
afraid of that
scared,
man. That has nothing to do with
silly
it.
You're scared silly of Wilde, and
no.
I don't know why.
No.
Like, I legit
no.
don't.
No.
Why do you ask the questions if you don't want to be receptive to the answers?
It's not 50, but okay, even if it is 50-50, even if it is, which I think it's probably closer to 50-50 than it is 90-10, but even if it is, the fear that you guys have of Jason blows my blanket mind.
I'm not afraid of him.
You are.
No, I'm not.
Don't post that clip. Don't do that. And we're all like, what the?
What?
I don't understand this. You guys, it's just dumbfounding to me. But
for the record,
that's a whole other story.
I'm afraid of both of you, for the record.
Well, I don't like that. I don't want to be, respected, not feared.
There's a reason I bite my fingernails.
So what I want to get into, and this is where things got interesting. So Father's Day lands a lot of times on my birthday, and I actually enjoy that because then I get my double decker. I'm not super interested in like a prolonged 3-day deal. Now my kids love it. Eleanor has become a planner. She helped me plan Mother's Day. It was a big success. She has taken the. She loves doing this stuff. So she had planned out a nice breakfast. She did the whole thing yesterday, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So we had baseball all weekend down in Janesville. Shout out to Janesville. Their tournament with the rain and everything else. Odd point, we won the championship, which makes it even better.
That's always nice.
But we had to play 3 games yesterday. It was hot, long day, but it was all pretty compacted. So we're playing, and we route the first team in our quarterfinal. Then we play a nail-biting, tough Stevens Point team, Potato Corridor, yesterday at about 3:30. So we finished.
Were you yelling hot potato?
I didn't. No, it was really respected their group. Their team came in and played their tails off. We played a really good game. We found a way to beat them. And then it got to be 5 o'clock, and I saw, and I should have told Sarah, don't, because she loves bringing stuff. She's bringing cupcakes. This is because we usually I'll have baseball around my birthday or Father's Day, and she loves doing that. So wasn't going to argue with the fact that she was going to bring cupcakes. That's great. So I see her as we're talking to the team after the win, and we literally have to flip it and play in another 20 minutes for the championship. I see her and Eleanor skedaddling over with the cupcakes to bring down on the field. And I said, what are you? I put a stop sign up. No. And she goes, I thought it would be a good idea to do it in between games.
Are
you nuts? What on earth? Is there any rationale? And then she says, and then one of her girlfriends, one of the moms on the team, she texts me last night. It's like, it was my idea. I thought it would be a great idea to give a little sugar before the championship game. And I'm thinking to myself, here you're going to give these kids frosted cupcakes. We're trying to win a championship game. And there's vanilla schmear and sprinkles and running out on the field with balloons and streamers. What the hell was she thinking?
Vanilla schmear?
Is it crazy? And she looked dumbfounded that I would bring it up. Is there any way anyone rational would think that this was a good idea? Anybody?
Okay. So you played a game early in the morning. What time was this taking place yesterday between the semifinal and the championship?
5:30.
So this is like a late afternoon situation.
Yes.
Okay. So did you play a game earlier in the day where this celebration
could have?
It was
supposed to be at 1, we got rain delayed and stuff, so it ended up being at 2. So we played 2, we finished at 4. Then we played 4, finished at 5:30, and then we finished, I think the last game started at 6.
So was there a reason that she didn't want to bring the cupcakes out during the rain delay? Or
we didn't have to play, so we showed up. We got to get there.
So everybody was just doing their own
thing.
So
in their defense, their thought process was there's a big storm coming in.
Yeah.
And she thought that if they didn't, and I think this was her rationale, but I was still dumbfounded, that you get it before the storm hit. Well, the storm never came. It stayed a little bit south. So we didn't have the rain delay. But can you just imagine, you just win a semifinal game, and our kids are sitting around in a circle wolfing down cupcakes. On the field, schmear and vanilla, schmear and sprinkles, the whole deal. Can you imagine it?
If I'm the other team, I'm thinking
you're insulted.
Yeah, I'm like, we got this.
No, you're not insulted.
Disrespectful.
I would be insulted.
To be doing that before
if
a championship.
Stevens Point or whomever we played in the... I don't remember what team it was that we played in the championship. It was a club team. If that was the case, I would say... We got these boys. They're having a campfire with s'mores sitting there on the field before the championship.
Yep.
The texts are rolling in, 844-770-3776, including on the private talking text line, which I'm going to vet during the commercial break to make sure I don't get you in trouble. Old T, I usually agree with you, but you're wrong on this one.
So I'm wrong on the fact that you should bring out cupcakes and celebratory things before the tournament is over.
I don't.
Had we lost to Stevens Point and they had us down, we were down in the sixth.
Mm-hmm.
If they beat us, we do our little deal, and we walk, and then, you
was
know,
there a consolation game you
no,
would have
that
played?
No, that was it. You
okay,
lose your game.
So okay, you lose your out. Well, I don't think you can do the celebration after a loss. Like, that, like, you well,
would... There's a more than 50% chance that's what's going to happen.
You wouldn't want the squad sitting all around, like, devastated after they lose by one run in the bottom of the whatever inning, and everyone's disappointed, and then they're putting, like, sitting on the bench, heads down, and then Sarah and Eleanor come walking up. Hey, cupcakes! It's old Coach T's birthday! Happy birthday!
I would have a problem. I'll say this. I'd much prefer that than do what their initial thought was.
I don't think there's a problem.
And in fairness, Sarah kind of put it on other people. She said everybody thought it would be a good idea. And all of us as coaches, we have four coaches. All the other three coaches were like, that'd be a terrible. Like, what would you be thinking to do that? So it's just maybe a different mentality. I'm not saying I'm 100% right here, but I'm saying I was right.
844-770-3776. Let's leave it up to the fans to weigh in on this, because I'm a little scared to say that I think it was a bad idea.
No, I think you're probably more scared of Sarah than you are Will.
I'm thinking of, like, when I umpired, and a lot of doubleheaders took place when I was a Little League umpire back in my heyday, and there were teams that would have, like, pizza parties in between. They would have, like, you know, order pizzas
when
that would
come
to get dropped by.
There's no game break. We literally would take, you go to the bathroom, you get a hot dog, you come back, you'd stretch, and we'd play. It was delayed because of the rain, so it was rapid fire. Boom, boom, boom. If there was another game to be played, and then we played in the championship, we'd go up to the shelter, we'd throw some cupcakes at you, no problem. To bring them out on the field? And have them in our dugout?
Yeah.
Come on now.
I don't think you can.
Come on now.
I don't think you can come parading them out onto the field
that
in between games. Because they're also getting the field ready,
that
right?
Was, for the they next are. Game. They're doing the. They're raking it and they're putting lines down.
So I think my official stance is I don't think it's IPT to bring out the cupcakes between games. I think you can't bring out the cupcakes and put them in the middle of the field. I think if you bring them on the side, you say between, hey, everybody, grab a cupcake quick. It's Coach T's birthday. Let's celebrate. We just had a big semifinal
win. In fairness, it wasn't even my birthday. I mean, my birthday's today.
You just got to say you don't mind a two-day ahead
text. I am more than happy about that, but you're saying, all I'm saying is, if you're an opposing team and you see the Sun Prairie Little League squad wolfing down cupcakes or roasting marshmallows and chocolate and graham crackers, I'm saying, what the hell are these idiots doing? That's legit what I'm doing.
We'll dive further into this coming up next with your text, 844-770-3776. Brian Bulaga is coming up in about 15 minutes. We're going to talk Packers with him. It's old T's birthday, and I know there's nothing he'd rather do than tell you about Pella Windows and Doors in Wisconsin.
No, I'm a year older, and you know what? If you have an older home and you need new windows, well, the way we did things a century ago, it's a little different than today. So give Pella a call. Their team of experts can customize windows and doors that will match our architecture from any era. Paleozoic, Cenozoic. I'm kind of stuck on those two. Deco, modern deco.
What era
the agrarian
are you in?
Era, that's... Middle Ages, Stone Ages.
What's your era with your new birthday?
That's actually a good question. I'm not even sure if I'm Gen Z. I don't know what I am. It really doesn't matter what kind of home you live in.
Gen Z.
And if you order today from Pella, you get 0% interest for up to 48 months. Certain restrictions do apply. The offer ends the end of June. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
I can guarantee you're not Gen Z. I can give you that much promise.
You don't know that for sure.
Gen Z's younger than me.
No, Gen X is younger. No, Gen X, you're right. So would I be Gen X?
Yeah, I think you're Gen X.
What are you?
Millennial.
Okay.
844-7.
That's accurate. I'll take your word for it.
A whole new thing.
That is accurate.
Thank you, Hunter. 844-7.
You tell me how, though, can be like 1980 is one, and then 1981's a whole different group? Like, no, it's not.
There's a gray area to it. It's a spectrum, Tausch.
844-770-3776, Cupcake Gate at the Youth Baseball Tournament for Tausch's birthday and Brian Bulaga, all straight ahead. Stay with us. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
cold tea. Bring in the cupcakes in between the semifinal and the championship at the youth baseball tournament. With you're saying there was no turnaround time. That you had like a break
None.
Between games.
It was literally 10 to 15 minutes.
Like you win, they're going to just rake the field quick and okay, let's go play. That's
well, we
the
were
championship
pushing
situation.
Because we've been there all day. I mean, it was a long day. We play three games in the course of 6 hours. So it was bing, bing, bing.
All right. The texts are rolling in on whether it was in poor taste, IPT, or not. Someone texted in the other day saying they weren't familiar with the phrase IPT.
Well, what are we doing?
So let's just go. Want to make sure I'm reminding everyone what that means on this show. By the way, Jesse and Tausch today. Wildy's on vacation for the week. He'll be back next week. Kevin in Sheboygan. I don't always agree with Old T. We know he never agrees with me. But on this, we're 100% in lockstep. Unless you've got an extended amount of time between games, you can't be housing cupcakes on the sideline. It's a bad look, and besides the optics, you're going to have some kids with cramps and sugar crashes all over. Not a recipe for success.
Totally agree with Kevin. That's why I gave the stop
but
sign.
What's the difference between housing a cupcake quick between games, semifinal championship, and
so
a lot of times kids will like in this situation they'll run and get a burger or
and
hot
they
dog.
Did. They went and got as I was text on the side here. They got ice cream.
Yeah, they get ice cream bars
the
all
deal.
The time. Ice cream
if,
sandwiches.
If we were going to execute this, what we should have done? There's a little shelter and a little deal. We all could have went up there. And said, let's do the whole happy birthday bit up in the little area, the concession area, not on the field, not on the first base dugout, not with the other team sitting there. You got 100 other things if you really needed to do it. And I understood the timing, the storms, all of that. I get it. Do it. We have to do it up there. You can't do it down on the first base. You can't come out on the field singing sparklers and balloons and everything else, cupcakes floating around. You can't do it. Next thing you know, you got a first baseman running to go make a catch, and he's tripping over cupcake dust. It can't happen.
Cupcake dust?
Well, cupcake cream, schmear, whatever you want to call it.
How messy do you think these kids
have
are?
Have you seen kids...
Yeah.
Have you seen how cupcakes
are they,
aren't 13? The easiest?
I mean, yeah. They're always messy.
But they're not the
you're
easiest.
You're playing
eat.
Baseball. You got dirt on your jersey.
Yes, but you don't have cream. And you don't have cupcake residue.
Are they allowed to use their hands to eat these cupcakes? They're not bobbing for
I
them,
love the
are
fact
they?
You think that they're going to just delicately eat these and you're not going to have like a strawberry cream on their jersey. Then that's like, oh, what are you?
But even if they do, so what?
Go so you're fine with
yeah,
you're
it's
fine
part
with
of the
Sarah's
pageantry
plan.
Of winning the chip. I am all for Sarah's plan. I think having the cupcake between game and Dave and Aaron points this out well. I'd be more concerned about the cupcakes melting in the heat if they're sitting around all
good
day.
Point.
That'd be cupcake
no,
abuse. You can't abuse
point.
The cupcakes if they're sitting around in the
so
car.
I'm
all
not
day.
Looking at it from any perspective other than coach. So mm-hmm. I maybe have some blind spots here. I don't think so. I don't think so. And I'm 99% sure I'm right on this, but I am open to hearing why I'm not.
Ian East Troy, just wait till you have a big lead rolling into the sixth inning and Tausch lights up the solo stove to get ready for the victory s'mores.
Yeah, well,
all right.
That's kind of where we're at. I mean, it wasn't much difference than singing happy birthday with a bunch of cupcakes coming out, gallivanting around after a big win versus the Potato Corridor.
We are celebrating here in the Everlight Solar Studio. If we have the wide shot here, Hunter, we have glazers and dunkers here from our friends at Quick Trip for
so
us to
I
celebrate
like the,
today.
I like the fact that you brought some in. I brought some glazers in. We got dunkers. I got my big boy,
big
24
boy
ounce Karuba today. So, yeah, it's always a good day. It's even better when you make a pit stop over at Quick Trip.
So I'm going to be diving into the Glazers, I think, here during this next commercial break.
So
as
you
we
brought
get ready.
In Dunkers,
I
even though
both.
You like Glazers.
I brought
in a Glazers, even though I like the Dunkers.
Well, now
better.
We have two of each.
What a world!
Six pack,
I hope you
so
got cherry.
Worked out.
I hope you got cherry.
I got blueberry.
Ooh, you know I like cherry.
Yeah, but I know you like saying blueberry.
I do.
So
love
when I was
going to
go for a radical
but I like
flavor,
eating cherry. Hey, you know what? You do that enough, you need a little extra spending cash, head over to Fortrea. They got a bunch of studies for some big people, little people. They got studies for everybody, and they're going to put a little cash in your pocket. Healthy men and women, non-childbearing potential, ages 18 to 60, BMI 18.5 to 30. Study involves one stay, 11 nights, two follow-ups. Grab yourself $5,302 for your time and participation. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, ClinicalTrials.com. They have a wide range of different studies with different payments. I'll tell you about the other, I mean, this other one. The amount of money you can make at Fortrea is huge. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com to get started today.
Nick on Twitter, instead of cupcakes, how about we talk sports? Well, fine.
We're gonna.
We'll do it.
And by the way, there was sports. It's just maybe sports you didn't care about.
Sun Prairie Youth Baseball.
Sun Prairie Little League Championship. You don't think that's sports?
Come on,
you want me
Nick?
To break down? We ended up stealing some bases to get some overthrows at third. That is how we ended up when their pitcher was on it. We needed to base run. We base ran ourselves into that championship.
Did the kids learn some situational awareness watching
they
Blake
did.
Birkins
had,
on Friday night?
We had some
night?
Umping issues.
Oh, no.
I'm not even going to get into that. So let's move on.
I would love to actually get into that, but we do have to move on because Brian Bulaga is coming up next. I don't know if he has any umpiring experience or youth baseball cupcake experience, but we will talk Packers with Brian Bulaga, Iowa. Next, don't go anywhere. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Tausch, Jesse and Tausch today with Jason Wilde on assignment for the week. It's the Old T Happy Birthday Edition. And there's no better way to celebrate. And with a little tackle talk. Let's bring in our friend who will not be joining us on Wednesday. No local shows this Wednesday as Good Karma Brands and ESPN Wisconsin celebrate Juneteenth as a company holiday. So Brian Bulaga makes time out of his schedule to join us on a Monday here this week. Happy birthday, Tausch. Brian Bulaga, how you doing?
I'm good. Tausch, happy birthday, man.
Thanks, Blue. Hey, so who are the guys that you are going to be expecting to send you a happy birthday that you played with? Who are the guys that you're going to say, hey, old boy, I got to send such and such a happy birthday text?
That I need to send them a happy birthday text?
That's my
text?
Dog. I need to send so-and-so. We need to be lockstep.
Yeah, you know, I guess maybe it's just me and I look at it this way. Like I'm so off the birthday thing. Like I don't really, I'm just not a big birthday guy. It's not really something that I celebrate a whole bunch. Maybe some people do and that's great.
Okay.
And I'm all fine with it. But I don't really look at it as something as like that I text someone and make sure I wish them a happy birthday. Like it's normally not.
That explains
not something
why I haven't
that
gotten a text from Blue. Okay, I just was curious. I wasn't sure. I don't, like
you're just being completely
I
honest.
Understand.
Do you not like when people send you happy birthday
don't
texts?
Don't you love it if City sends you a text or D-Bach is like, hey, happy birthday, Blue. You don't care. It's like, oh, it's just because you know they're thinking about you, even if it's for a split second. You don't like that?
Huge thing to me.
I understand.
So, like, if I don't hear from them, it's okay. It's not. Okay. It's not going to hurt my feelings.
Right. Well, it hurt my feelings that you didn't send me one. But okay, well, we're good.
He's here right now.
I just
sure, said it to you.
Just joking.
I did say happy birthday
you
just
it.
Now.
You know
for
what,
sure.
Blue? You know what? I firmly, I fully appreciate that, Blue. I do. All right, I mean, Blue. What's on your mind, Packer wise? What are you thinking about? I know it's everything's over now. You get that little time off. What did you learn in the time you've been kind of looking at what this team is? What's kind of on your Packers radar heading out of mini camps into what's going to be this little me period till training camp gets started?
Yeah, I saw that me period that Salah
was
talking
me phase?
About.
What does he call that?
Yeah, like the me time or me phase. Yeah, it's something like that. I found that interesting. I guess what I'm looking for, especially – you know, as the Packers go into their me phase, or whatever they want to call it. Hey, I'm concerned about the health of Zach Tom. That's my number one thing. Mm-hmm. How is he progressing through his me time, right? Like, did he stay in Green Bay? Is he rehabbing there? Did he go elsewhere? I guess those are things that I have no business knowing.
Blue,
but
Blue,
I'm
quick
just
question
wondering.
On that. Can you kind of explain to people? Because unfortunately, you and I both had to go through some long, arduous rehabs. And this is the time of the year where you can really let your mind kind of... I always would go till the 4th of July. 4th of July weekend is over, and my mind flipped back to, whew. So can you kind of explain what Zach, Tom, in your mind, because the mental strain of an NFL season is very large. Can you kind of get into when you don't get that time, how much tougher that is mentally?
Yeah, this is going to be a year like he hasn't experienced. And you said it, because when you're going through an injury and you're rehabbing, your everyday goal is to try to get a little bit better than yesterday. And some days are better than the next. And some days you take a step backwards and it doesn't feel as good. And it wears on you mentally. It does. It gets your head spinning thinking, hey, am I going to be ready to go in time? Or am I even progressing? Am I getting stronger? And things start to go through your head. And he's been dealing with this now since April when he initially popped his pec, and now he's going to go from all this rehab, trying to get his body ready. And listen, he's pushing, right? Like, and his body is going through recovery, but it's a very active, strenuous recovery to try to get back in time for an NFL season. So you put your mind and body through this, and then you go bang right into week one in Brazil, if he's ready. Mm-hmm. And you have no time to really take a breath. You just don't
push.
And just think, and you know this too, Tausch, even when you're injured and he's in season, he's going to be rehabbing that thing in season as well. This isn't like he's once training camp comes and he plays the first game, oh, I'm good now. No, that's definitely not going to be the way this goes.
That is how fans look at it, because I can tell you, you're going to be dinged up anyways during a season. But when you have an existing injury you fought back from, you got to be in there. You got to either go in early and do some extra strengthening stuff. And that stuff, you just want to show up, study film, and play. That's in an ideal NFL season. But when you're coming off of an injury and you have to fight to get ready and fight to compete so that you can play, you still have to go through all of your other stuff, which is very stressful in its own right. But then you add this other layer of prehab and rehab, and then you have to do the post-hab stuff after practice. It's another 2-3 hours you got to add to your calendar every day that just wears on you.
Oh, yeah. It's a stressor, man. And, like, you're playing the NFL season. Your body's already worn down mentally. And then, you're waking up at 5 a.m. to make sure you're on time for a 6 a.m. treatment, 7:30 workout, 8:30 or 8:45 team meeting, and you're into your day, right? And then you're trying to get your mind ready for practice and the game plan and this and all that. Then you have to go warm up. Before you go warm up even for the practice, you got to warm up now for Zach Thomas, his pack, and make sure that's all good and get taped or whatever contraption he's going to have on to make sure that his arm doesn't get in a funky position outside of his body. I'm sure he'll be wearing a Sully sleeve or something early on to protect that pack. But it's just it's a stressful situation he's in. And I've been in it. I've done it, especially with two ACLs. Mm-hmm. It's not a fun thing. But thankfully for him, it's not like he is coming into a new offense. It's not like he's a guy still trying to establish himself as one of the guys on the roster. He is one of the guys on the roster. They know who he is as a player. So he doesn't have that mental stress that he still has to go out there and – I mean, you always got to win your job, but he knows he doesn't have that mental stressor of, I got to go beat someone out right now. Like, I can't – like, this is – I have a lot going on. So he doesn't have that. So it's – he's really got to focus in this training camp period, this time right now. I would take – obviously you got to rehab. I would take a little break mentally, take a little break. You still got to go in and rehab and do all that. I understand that, but maybe mentally check out for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get into this training camp period, you know, he's not going to practice till maybe, I don't know, week 3 of training camp. I mean,
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask you, Blue. So from his perspective, he popped the pec early in, yeah, right there, Jesse?
Sorry.
He popped his pec early in the offseason, and it's what, usually a 3 to 4 month deal. What would you say, he's in year 3. Push to get back. You know he wants to be out on the field. the training staff is going to – so you're looking at week three of the preseason, so give yourself a little bit of work so you're ready to go down in Brazil. That's kind of how you would approach it if you were Zach?
100%. And if I know Flea and Nate, those guys are telling him right now, listen, I know you want to be out there, but we're worried about week one. Like, that's really our long-term goal here, is making sure you feel as good as possible in week one. And I know LaFleur and Steno and Buckus are all feeling the same thing as well. Like, that was the fortunate part of being with those guys, even for a year, is that their thought process on making sure guys are healthy on game day was way different than it was with the McCarthy era. And the thought process there, like,
what was the biggest difference of the week, Blue, with those two?
They wanted you they wanted you feeling great on Sunday, where sometimes I felt when it was the McCarthy era Thursday was the biggest day of the week, Sunday.
Hey, you know what? It was even worse prior to that. I can promise you, Thursday was full on. We gotta go, unless you were Cliff.
Exactly. So, well, yeah, unless you were Cliff. But like sometimes Thursdays were bigger than the game. Like it was
right,
wild
about
thought
that
process.
Yep.
Where with LaFleur and Steno, these guys were like, hey, we'd rather have you not do anything today. And you were like, no, I got to do something today. They're like, well, we just want to make sure Sunday you're ready to roll. That's really where we're at with this. And that's thankfully where Zach Tom has gotten into the situation where he's played well enough. We've all seen it. The coaching staff trusts him to prepare, you know, from a playbook standpoint and a game plan standpoint, that if he does need a little time during the week, if his chest is feeling a little bit sore, they're going to give him that time to make sure he's ready to go on game day, which is fantastic for him. And I mean, I don't know how I would have gotten through my 10 years in Green Bay without Flea and Nate and those guys. So like, I know he's getting taken care of from that standpoint. He's in a good situation, but he's just got to make sure that mentally he's given himself a little break in this point in the off season and making sure that he's kind of re-energized when camp rolls around.
Talking with former Packer Brian Bulaga on Wilde and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch today. We have 4 minutes for the upcoming commercial break. That's enough time to wolf down a cupcake if you're Tausch's baseball team.
Yeah, Blue, can you explain? I know you always tune in right before you come on, but do you think it was IPT? We had three games yesterday.
In poor taste.
Yeah, in poor taste. Blue knows.
Okay.
And after the second game, we had a hard-fought semifinal win. And it was later in the day because we had a little rain. And Sarah and Eleanor were bringing cupcakes down on the field to celebrate my birthday with the team before a championship game. Tell me where your head's at on that. And you can be honest. Sarah's not listening.
Yeah, no. I'm not loving that. I think you could celebrate after the championship game.
Yes!
I think that's the way I would look at it.
No, even if you lose, you could still celebrate.
No way.
Win or lose, we booze. Win or lose, we eat cupcakes.
Yes. Even after the loss, you could still eat the cupcake, right? I mean, the kids have had a long day. You know, a little cupcake at the end of the whole thing, they'd be really happy about that. I don't know about loading them down with sugar right before a championship game where they could potentially crash.
I agree.
I say load them up. It's a sugar high just in time to get you through over the edge. Quick turnaround.
That's what the Big League Chew gum was for, the Powerade. I mean, from what I remember.
I love Big League Chew, too. It was so good. Grape. Had a good grape.
It was the best. It was the best. I'd probably, you know, go through a pack of that, on a week and a weekend stretch of games.
You know what else I like? That yard tape. You put it in a little pouch and it rolls up and you can kind of just rip it. But Big League Chew trumps that big time.
I'm out on all gum. I wish gum would go away forever. I hate it.
I don't know. How does that gum in the old Topps cards packs, how does that stay good for 20? People open these cards from the 80s, and there's still gum in there. You can still chew it. It's probably not good, but you still could. Probably means it's not
good. I don't know how that Yeah, I don't know how that stays even available.
I think you just answered your own question right there. So
I think I'd still chew it.
I do want to get Brian Bulaga's thoughts on what Rob Domofsky wrote about Jordan Morgan and his first impression at minicamp, and then also what Jason Wilde said late last week about Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, so it was very not nice, what Jason said.
Plenty to get to coming up. Get your cupcakes. We'll be back in 4 minutes. Don't go anywhere with Brian Bulaga. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you. Back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know I'm
here in this big city we're in, but when I go... Rolling on with Brian Bulaga on a Monday... Old T's birthday on Wilde and Tausch. No Jason Wilde today. Jesse and Tausch holding it down for the week.
You know, if it wasn't for my left knee, I would feel very young yet. But the knee is really getting me. I don't know about you, Blue. I felt pretty good. I mean, you're still very young. I feel like I look at other like 50-year-old dudes, and I'm like, eh, okay. But this last 4 or 5 months has beaten me down, and I'm starting to feel like I'm starting to go into the... maybe I've had some old man thoughts for a while about digitalization of the money. Like, a lot of stuff that people say since... I'm an old man yelling at clouds, which, fine. But, Blue, you still feel fresh. You lost a bunch of weight. You look great. You're golfing. You're winning club championships. You feel pretty good for a couple ACL'd and everything else that you dealt with?
Yeah, you know... For the most part, you know, I'm feeling all right. I think the thing that bothers me the most is my shoulder. It is an absolute
sleeping.
Yeah, it's an absolute like pain, and it's constant. So, I mean, I feel you on that. Like, you know, I think the weight loss helped the knees a little bit. I think for me, at least,
it's a good idea for all of us. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it helped me out, but it didn't help my shoulder out at all. Like. At all. So I don't know what I can do to help that out. So besides a replacement, most likely, I don't know what else is going to take care of that. But some days are better than the others. We'll put it that way.
Yep, that's fair.
I'm sure current members of the Packers offensive line feel that way, too. And speaking of which, Rob Domofsky wrote about Jordan Morgan, the Packers' first-round pick with the 25th overall pick of the 2024 NFL draft.
He certainly looks the part, doesn't he, Blue? Jordan? He looks the part.
He's a good-looking athlete.
He is. Yeah.
So at ESPNWisconsin.com, we have from ESPN's NFL Nation reporters, including Rob Domofsky, 32 first-round picks, 32 first impressions with early observations of the first-round picks of the 2024 class. Here's what Rob Domofsky says from what he's seen of Jordan Morgan. Quote, Morgan hasn't hidden his desire to play left tackle. But at this point, the Packers haven't settled on a spot for him. This offseason, he took turns at every spot on the offensive line except center. The Packers prefer to cross-train all their offensive linemen. Then we get a quote from Matt LaFleur to close out the blurb from Rob Domofsky. Blue, when you hear that, Tausch, when you hear that.
So this is, and you know what's interesting about this? Blue just asked like what his big thing was in his Zach Tom. And I think that, I'll be curious if this ends up being a positive, because there's nobody to ask a better question than Blue, because Blue did everything at left tackle, partially because Cliffy didn't practice a ton. So he got all his work at left tackle. I think they dabbled a little bit at guard, but then you're going to be a tackle. Then you end up playing right tackle for a vast majority of the season, Super Bowl. Would it have been better for you just to go play right tackle? If you knew what you knew now, know now what you know then. So for Jordan, he's going to have to play right tackle in training camp because Zach Tom's not going to practice there. And you don't know if Zach Tom's going to be ready. We all hope he is, but if he's not and Jordan Morgan's one of your best and Rashid Walker's one of your best, is it better if you think that he's going to be your left tackle, move Rashid over to right? If he's going to be your swing guy, how would you, if you're Butkus and Steno and everybody, how would you approach this training camp knowing what you know?
Yeah, I think... If it's me and I'm going into it, I'm giving Morgan a lot of reps at right tackle. I think you have to get him ready. You have to prepare him. mentally, because I get he wants to play left tackle, and that's what he said, and that's what he did in college. But you got to be ready to be flexible and move around. And I wasn't ready to, so to speak, when, you know, you went down and they said you're going to play right tackle. I don't think I was ready by any stretch of the imagination, because I'd never taken a pass set on the right side of the offensive line in my entire career. I left tackle and left guard is where I played in college, and then is what I did in training camp with Green Bay. And then when I kicked over, I was very unprepared, but I got used to it after a while. So if they can get him plenty of snaps over there at right tackle to get him comfortable with his footwork and things like that, and still while getting him reps at left tackle and technically competing for that left tackle job as well, that'll benefit him greatly. I think the guard experiment with him, I understand that he's taking reps there, but I think we kind of have to move on from that. I think they need to move on from that. I think this kid's a tackle. I think if you see the way he moves, and obviously he's got great size. I don't really care about the arm length stuff. That's junk. I think he's a tackle.
You've made abundantly clear.
Yeah. That's junk to me. I could care less. Yeah. I think if you give him the reps needed on both sides, I think he'll be ready to roll, in my opinion.
So, Blue, you look at the – and obviously first-round pick, Rashid Walker was not. But if you think that he is the guy, and he is a fluid athlete, I think we've all seen it. That's a reason he was picked, 26th or whatever number that was. Why would you not say – and you can't hand anyone anything, but why not have Rashid Walker bouncing around? Because can he play right tackle? Does he have that? If Jordan's going to be your guy, and you don't know about Zach Tom, Zach Tom hopefully will be starting at right tackle when it comes. If you're going to have Jordan doing all that work at right tackle, is he going to be ready to play left tackle? And I guess that's the question you have, is how do you balance those reps? You're just going to hand the job to Rashid Walker because Zach Tom is injured? Or are you going to let Jordan Morgan compete with Rashid Walker, and then you don't know what's going to happen at right tackle?
You're right.
I love stumping Big Blue.
It is quite the conundrum, so to speak, with competition at the left tackle spot, because I think we hit it last week. I don't think Dillard, unless something goes completely haywire in this competition for left tackle and something with Zach Tom with his recovery goes really haywire as well, which I don't see that happening, will he be in the mix for one of these tackle jobs, right? Like, I think if Zach Tom can't go week one, I think you're going to see Rashid Walker and Jordan Morgan in some form or fashion out there, would be my guess, right? And then Dillard would be the backup swing guy. With the left tackle gig, I really think that the way Rashid Walker played last year and towards the end and what he did in the playoffs and how he looked, it's hard to just move him. Right? Like, because he was a later round pick. He was a little bit of a project early on. Still is a little bit of a project with getting him more consistent and things like that. But if he's going to practice and he's playing well and performing well at left tackle, it's hard to just say, all right, but we're going to try out here now and just completely mess up continuity of the line. Because it's not really with Elton that you're worried about who's playing next to Elton at left guard. So I think Elton is going to perform well no matter what.
Yep.
Who's next to him? It's a matter of then, you know, who's playing next to Sean Ryan at right tackle. That's more of a combination that we got to be looking at and considering with the continuity over there. Two young players. You want to get those guys as many reps as you can together early on so that they're on the same page when it's live fire going on. So if it's me, I'm still sticking with giving Jordan Morgan 50-50 right tackle reps to left tackle reps. I'd start him with the ones at right tackle and get him comfortable there. And then with the twos and threes, kick him in at left tackle, give him some reps there and see how things go. If we get into joint practices and Rashid Walker is struggling and is not performing well and we get pads on and things aren't looking well, well, then you can make that switch midway through camp and start giving Jordan Morgan more reps at left tackle. Like, these are things that they can make on the fly. Like, nothing's set in stone right now, which I think is exciting about this line because it's young and there are pieces that can be moved. It wasn't like when I was there, when you were there, like, hey, we got our tackles. There's maybe one position up for grabs and there's two guys who can get it, right? Like, and that's really what it was. There's a lot of fluid and moving pieces with this line. As much as we think it's a strong point, guys can be played in different spots right now, which makes this very intriguing and interesting to watch.
Well, you could really make an argument that this injury to Zach Tom really sucks for Jordan. Because they drafted him to be the left tackle. Like, I think that's abundantly clear. And now, because Zach pops his pec, Jordan is going to have to go play right tackle a bunch, and that's going to limit his opportunity to push Rashid Walker at left tackle because he's going to have to take a bunch of reps at right tackle. Now, overall, for his overarching development, it's probably a good thing. But players want to have a spot, and they want to perfect the craft. Ballou didn't 100%. Want to be playing left guard. You wanted to say, all right, I am going to be right tackle. I'm going to be doing this set. I get to work different angles. I get to really get comboed up with City. I get to start learning all of our little tricks and everything else. And there's a reason guys want that, but this injury to Zach Tom is going to not allow that to happen.
Correct. Yes. I mean, it could have been for Jordan Morgan, it couldn't have been kind of
that sucks for
a
him.
Worse situation. Yeah. Like, and I'm not saying it's an awful situation for him, right? Because he is going to get an opportunity to show, you know, the type of player he is and his versatility and things like that, which is great. And what is good, which maybe a lot of people don't think about, but from an offensive standpoint and a scheme standpoint, you really do learn a lot switching from left side to right side. As hard as it is technically to do it with footwork, for your mental side of understanding the offense, it's really good for you because you see things from two different sides. You understand what the other side of the ball is doing, you know, constantly. You know, if you're playing right tackle, but you've been taking lefts at left tackle, you understand what the left side of the line is doing. You understand the assignments all across the board. It helps you out quite a bit. I will say that it did for me. Once I finally understood how to pass that as a right tackle, and I wasn't worried about just getting a quarterback killed, and I can actually focus on, you know, technique and things like that. It really helped me being able to understand the scheme overall.
Because Blue's 100% right, Matt. Every time you get thrown into the mix to start, you're just like, especially in Green Bay with Favre and Rodgers, you literally are thinking, don't get him killed. Like, legit, because you know your blank is going to get run out of town. If you give up and just let somebody come screaming in and old boy gets drilled and he pops a shoulder, you're gone. And that, it's a sickness that old linemen have. It really is.
And you know that look you're going to get in the locker room and the way guys are going to treat you.
Oh, God.
Like, you understand it. Like, you know it. Like, you know, things
have
like,
ruining our season, Charlie.
Yeah, exactly. Like, listen, if you get beat for a sack, and, you know, those things happen. Yep. Like, this is the NFL. Like, that's the way things go. You have to understand, especially rookies and young guys going up against great veteran players, you're going to get beat every now and again. It's going to happen. Like, that's life. But if you just blow assignments and dudes are just screaming through B gaps and you're not touching them and they're drilling the quarterback, you get a certain look from other guys on the team, and
it's not
then
very
the quarterback
nice
doesn't really
very unfriendly.
Yeah, then the quarterback doesn't really trust you. It's just, you know, it's a tough spot to be in. So I think it's good for Jordan Morgan that he's learning these different positions, but I think the guard thing is done. I think we got to move on from the guard.
I totally agree with you on that. Totally.
Yeah. I think we're wasting his time giving him reps at guard. It's pointless.
Too fluid of an athlete. Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
Brian Bulaga joining us on Wildy and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch today with Jason on vacation. I did ask Tausch last commercial break what he wanted for his birthday, and he said another segment with Brian Bulaga.
That is what
would
I said.
Amazing.
And you know what I really want to know? Because I want to know what Aaron Rodgers, the worst thing he said to you, because I know exactly what he said to me as a player, and this was when he was young. And he wasn't, you know, who he is now.
And we still want to hear what Brian's...
I want to hear what he... I'm sure there's one that he said to you that you remember, too.
We still want to hear what Brian thinks of what Jason said about Aaron Rodgers last week, too. Brian, can you stick around one more segment with us, please?
I can. I got time.
All right. We'll be back in 2 minutes. More Brian Bulaga to kick off the 10 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch. Straight ahead. Stick around.